You know, coming off Remembrance Day weekend, particularly this one, is a time for reflection. And we talked about this on Thursday night, but it behooves us to think about it again. This past Remembrance Day was a day where Canada mourned and remembered the greatest loss of the boldest and the bravest of us in quite some time. And we need to reflect on what that sacrifice was for. You know, when Sir Wilfrid Laurier said that this nation answers to a higher destiny, that destiny in our maturity was not forged from the compromises of public trust bred behind the closed doors of government committees and corporate boardrooms, nor by the prejudices of social orthodoxy that dominate polls and focus groups that seek to dictate the commonwealth. This nation, conceived as economic enterprise by European monarchs a century past, came to maturity and kept its rendezvous with destiny, overwhelming the bloody trenches of Vimy Ridge, scaling the harrowing cliffs of Dieppe, conquering the sands of Normandy, commanding the stormy seas of the Atlantic, suffering the bitter winters of Korea, and surviving the scorching sun of the Sinai, and too, demonstrating our courage and conscience in the corpse-filled jungles of Rwanda and in the muddied fields of the Balkans. Our best progress as a people has always been realized when we shouldered our fair share of the burden in mankind's continuing quests to realize its transcendent yearnings for redemptive change. It has always been a struggle, tempered by service and sacrifice, to assure the survival and success of liberty. Our proudest boast was that we were ready to meet the challenges of the day and were not content to rest smugly at harbor. If we fail to recognize those challenges from abroad today, we will inevitably face the consequences of that failure at home. So on days such as today, as we come off a weekend of remembrance, we must pledge to keep faith with those who now lay row on row where poppies grow, and never allow their proud legacy of victory over tyranny, symbolized in these days of drums, to be compromised by the abandonment of national will so cavalierly and so often rationalized in our public discourse today by the low limitations of moral relativism and political equivalency. When John Philpott Kern said, "The condition upon which man hath received liberty is eternal vigilance, which condition, if he break, servitude is at once the consequence of his crime and the punishment of his guilt." Those words are as true today as when he wrote them so long ago. It has been said that as each new day dawns, we always have two choices. We can live from fear, or we can live from courage. Therefore, choose courage, for our courage can truly change the world and redeem our lives. And we're going to spend a good part of today's program talking about Canadian success stories on the one hand, and perhaps a Canadian failure of will politically on the other. And we'll be right back with you. My intro was meant to get everybody thinking about what we can do as Canadians. We don't have to think of ourselves as a middle power. We don't have to think of ourselves as second class to anybody. We can do things in a first class way, not only militarily, in every form of human endeavor. And we're going to spend a good part of this show with a very special guest who's done something on the global level. Forget about the country. Forget about continentally. It's global. And our special guest is Tyler Cavell. Tyler Cavell is a graduate of the London School of Economics, where he did his studies in communications. He was part of the Associated Press group of companies, which includes, I believe, the Daily Telegraph, has quite a background in newspapers and in broadcasting. And Tyler had an idea. Why don't we have a world-class internet broadcast platform out of here, bringing the whole world together here? And he did it. And you've got to go see this, ibctoday.com, which has joint ventures with press sources from dozens of countries, where in one place at one time you get video, you get audio, you get world views of everything that's happening from politics to religion to technology. Tyler Cavell, welcome.
Wow, that is a fantastic introduction. Thank you. I'm really appreciative.
How did this idea come to you?
You know, Canada is a country that has historically communicated with the world, and I thought out of Canada, we could do what Ted Turner did, but do it even better. Create the CNN of the internet, where we not only reach out for local broadcasters of America, like CNN did, but reach out for the broadcasters of the world to do exactly what Beryl described, which is provide a global view to all viewers around the world.
You're Canadian, but you've studied in London, you've worked in London, you've worked in Los Angeles, you've worked in New York. You could have done this from anywhere. You've got contacts everywhere. Why from here?
You know, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC, was one of our first partners. And Canada has always supported ideas like this. And the talent that we found here in the digital newsroom technology that we use was outstanding. And I thought that this was a perfect project to develop in Canada, and that's why we've done it here.
People didn't tell you, oh, Tyler, you know, with your connections, with your background, with your experience, what do you want to bother? Canada's so bureaucratic, they're going to put up walls against you. You'll never get it. You won't be taken seriously when you're as a Canadian when you go to get partners abroad.
Well, I think Canadians have a world view, but this isn't just for Canada. This is for the world. I mean, what we do, what the Internet Broadcast Corporation does is it says, hey, Turkey has some of the leading news stories going today. It's between Asia and the Middle East. It is a witness to what goes on in both Asia and the Middle East, could join the European Union soon. So let's get the top news stories from that television broadcaster in its original Turkish language, but we'll translate it with English subtitles so that the world can understand. So it's not just a Canadian audience, but a global audience.
And you're really giving people multiple views. You can get Fox News on your site, you can get CBC, we can always get that here, but if you want to go and see, okay, what's happening over there in Turkey? What's happening in Nigeria in the recent plane crash? You scroll down and there you are, and you get video and audio from their sources directly. So you brought together how many new sources that are now partnering with you?
To date, we've signed 21 broadcast agreements with the leading broadcasters of the world. We'll be adding almost one per week. Today, you can see Channel TV from Nigeria, for example. You can see Fox News, which we signed last week. So we have which is already on www.ibctoday.com.
And you've got Reuters.
And we have Reuters, and we have the leaders from Armenia, from Georgia, and from Africa as well. And we're growing at almost one per week.
What do you do with some of the world's trouble spots? I'm thinking of the northern part of South America. I'm thinking of the Middle East, of bringing some of those outfits on board.
The Middle East is definitely a priority. And our association with Reuters, as well as DHA, which have combined over 85 bureaus throughout the Middle East and Europe, is very important to us. At the same time, Africa is important. We just got back from Sierra Leone, and you'll see ABC Television Africa up on our news network by approximately the middle of this week.
And these are continuous feeds. There's no time delay. There's no nothing. This is just straight streaming through to your platform.
Well, the way it works on ibctoday.com is you simply click on a video that is interesting to you, whether it's in business or sports or culture or entertainment, and you'll go right to that video, and it'll be from a broadcaster from all over the world. And you'll determine what broadcaster that is when you see the footage from that broadcaster.
And again, you've got to see this site. It's so crisp. It's so professional. Again, ibctoday.com. The editing of the headlines, is that done here in Montreal? Is that done by your staff?
We actually have offices worldwide. Here's how it works. When we sign a broadcaster, let's say Fox News in America, they provide us with an editor that works in that office to say, what are the top stories from around the world? And as they come up, breaking news, as fast as they're out on foxnews.com, they're right out on our site as well. And there's an editor that works for us in that Fox station to take that story and put it up on our site as fast as possible.
Okay, but who decides for, I'm just looking at the site, so who decides the business headlines, the culture headlines, the politics? Is that done here?
You know, I think you would know this more than most. All politics is local and all news is local. So every broadcaster that we sign has an editor dedicated to us who knows that country or that region's news and whose sensitivity, having been born and worked in that country, whether it's a Sierra Leone or an American, brings us not only the top news, but the most realistic news from that part of the world.
When you started this, is there a government involvement in this?
No government involvement.
And that's so important for Canadians to get it through their minds that it's possible to be a young entrepreneur, to have a great idea, and not always to go and sort of suck off the hind tit of the government and say, well, you know, you're obligated, Canada Council, to give us money. You're obligated because we're Canadians and doing something worldwide. You're competing on your own basis and on your own merit.
This is the most regulation-free company in the world. The sky is the limit. We work with every country everywhere, and we will not sign state broadcasters where the state interferes with media integrity and freedom. The only state broadcaster we have signed to date is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And look out for the British Broadcasting Corporation next, very soon. But at this juncture, we go for leading broadcasters in parts of the world that are just entering democracy, like Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. in parts of the world that were part of apartheid, like Africa.
Eastern Europe was another fascinating area. What have you got? What kind of partnerships have you got going there?
We have the leading broadcaster, Yerker Media, in Armenia. And that was a deal that George Soros' foundation called the Open Society. Of course, George Soros, a London School of Economics graduate, said, in order for old former Soviet republics to join democracy, we have to bring them into the communications world. And his institute helped us sign the leading broadcaster of Armenia to our site, as well as the leading broadcaster of Georgia. So we're helping these folks get a global platform for their emerging democracy, which is extremely exciting, especially with the recent tumult between Georgia and Russia.
Yeah. Tyler Cavell will be right back with you right after this break. And we're talking with Tyler Cavell, founder and chairman of IBCtoday.com, Internet Broadcast Corporation, which is a Canadian news platform that, listeners, you got to go see this. It is as the top drawer, both in terms of technology and in terms of scope, as any news service out there. And it was all done by this young man out of Canada. And he didn't let the fact that he was Canadian cajole him into going and doing it in New York or anywhere else. This is done here. What do you have to say, Tyler, to entrepreneurs out there, particularly in the tech field, in the communications field, who would say, well, you know, Canada doesn't really count. Canada's voice can't be heard. Or even if we start something like this, it's going to be looked at as, well, it's a Canadian voice.
You know, this is a great country. We have a prime minister. Lester B. Pearson had a prime minister who won the Nobel Peace Prize through communication. Communication solved the Suez Crisis. It is Canada's responsibility as both a soft power but an international power to use the most strategic of all soft powers, the most powerful of all powers, and that's global communications. For us to reach out our Canadian arms and bring together the leading broadcasters of evolving democracies of Africa, of Europe, of America, of all over the world onto one network is a Canadian opportunity and therefore responsibility. And we just capitalized on that. And being Canadian has helped us sign broadcasters because we're not America. We're seen as a peaceful power. And we're seen as a peaceful power that will bring better understanding to the world through a more global communication vehicle like the Internet Broadcast Corporation.
And isn't it true that as long as people are operating in the world of communications, anywhere from the sort of the Montreal, Washington, even down the Montreal, Miami axis or the London, Rome arc, you're in those areas, you're really ground zero for communications and media.
We are. We really have our finger on the pulse of what goes on in most local regions of the world. So we get breaking news before CNN, before even Fox. Because, for example, when someone shoots on an embassy in Turkey to protest the Pope coming out, we get that story from the local Turkish broadcaster 30 minutes before all the other lead broadcasters have put it up. So we're always ahead of the game by being at ground zero of broadcasters all over the world.
Well, we've got some interested callers. Let's take one. Andy, good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Andy. Listen, first of all, it sounds very nice what the gentlemen say, but there's one problem. More than 90% of the people in Canada don't give a damn what happens all over the world. And when you go,
well, it's not just all over the world. The news is also Canadian news.
Yeah, but he was mainly talking about Eastern Africa and all that. And the thing is this, depending who you get over there, because you could, in an Eastern European country.
Well, Andy, you know, I'm going to let Tyler answer the question, but you know what my view, I don't care. You're right. I don't care if 90% of any country don't care about what's happening. You make a revolution in a country, you make a change by leading from the top, by convincing the leaders, both opinion leaders and political leaders, that they have to move the people. It's not going to happen from the bottom.
The leaders are, you're replacing one crap with another crap most of the time.
I think, like The Last Angry Man, we've learned that one man can make a difference. And if one person in Canada learns what's going on around the world to make them a better voter, we've made a difference.
Yeah, the thing is, if you said to me, or not to me, but before, I heard that the Suez Canal, that communication made a difference from the Suez Canal.
Because he was answering my question of, does the fact that they're Canadian stand in his way? I mean, do you understand what's been done? I mean, here's a young Canadian man, and Canadians are always taught to be mediocre. No, but Andy, listen, just between you and me, forget about the listeners for a second.
Yeah.
Here's a young Canadian, and raised of that generation that has been told that you have to cool it and be politically correct and don't go out front, and he's created a news platform that is going head-to-head with the major news platforms in the world.
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
Now, obviously, that counts for something, and people are interested.
Him, but there's one thing. If he really tells the truth, he's not going to be on air for a long time.
Well,
because most governments, most people don't want to hear the truth in this world. Because every time I say, I tell people, this is the way it is, and if you don't think I'm right, let's make a bet.
Well, I'm gonna let Tyler answer it quickly because we got to go to break. But the site is not an editorializing site. Tyler Cavell?
First, sir, thank you for the question. I think it's a great question. But 95 countries and over 4 million viewers last month alone would disagree. And I think we are making a difference by bringing the news to the world. And we look forward to seeing you on the site soon.
Andy, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back after this. Well, tonight we're talking about Canadian success stories and what Canada can do on the world stage. I've been talking with Tyler Cavell, and he'll be with us for the rest of the hour, about ibctoday.com. It's a great news portal. It goes head-to-head with the best in the world, and Canadians can achieve that. And it's my pleasure to welcome another, I'll call both of you newsmen, Ray Hurd from Toronto, who's editor of the Montreal Star. He was head of CanWest News. And it's two generations and two different kinds of communication, but Canada produces world-class communications people. Ray Hurd, welcome, and thanks for being with us tonight. Ray Hurd, Tyler Cavell.
Nice to be
Ty Cavell, Ray Hurd.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, I hope to be down there soon for the Liberal convention, which is developing into a fiasco very fast.
As I said in my intro, you know, we're talking to Ty Cavell about something Canada creates great, and we're going to be talking to Ray Hurd about something he's not happy about. So here it is, the Liberal Party of Canada, what they call themselves, the natural governing party. What is it? They can't find Canadians with ideas to be a keynote speaker? They got to get screechy Howard Dean?
Well, worse than that, Howard Dean is the ultimate loser. The Democrats did reasonably well to bring back victory last week. Guess who they cut out in that process? Howard Dean. So only, I don't know who did this, but Ken Dryden, who happens to be a friend of mine, went on CTV yesterday, and he very seldom says anything controversial, and he said he's totally opposed to the idea of Howard Dean being the keynote speaker at the Liberal convention.
Yeah, it was Dryden. Ray, of course, was perfectly happy with it, but that is perfectly understandable.
Well, birds of a feather, both losers, both crypto socialists with nowhere to go, and they're going to take a lot of people.
I know. Whenever you use the S word, Ray, there's worse things coming. But let's just explain to our listeners what it means that the Democrats won. By marginalizing the Howard Dean, Nancy Pelosi wing of the party. A lot of Democrats were elected, who are called the Blue Dog Democrats and the Blue Dog Caucus. Of the 35 new Democrats, not new Democrats as in Canada, but the newly elected Democrats in the States, 30 of them are anti-tax, pro-gun. Yeah. They're not what you consider the Howard Dean touchy-feely left of the party.
Yeah. But the real issue has to be this, guys. We have some great Canadians. John Turner is a great Canadian who fought a battle over free trade, and today, as few people know, happens to be a very good friend of guess who? Brian Mulroney. Why didn't they invite John Turner? Why didn't they invite the Honorable Donald MacDonald, whose report, as I think Finance Minister, led to free trade? Donald Johnston, who ran the OECD in Paris. Frank McKenna, why Howard Dean? No one I know can answer that question.
Well, Frank McKenna, they're just scared of giving him a platform because they're scared that he's going to upstage the rest of them. But what does this say, Ray? What does this say to you know, a young man like Ty Cavell, who's done something now on an international level, and people are going to be asking him, well, what's the matter with your former governing party? They couldn't find a Canadian to be a keynote speaker? I mean, I can't see anybody inviting Paul Martin to be the keynote speaker at the Democratic National Convention.
No. And say they did have to invite an American, which I dispute, I would start with Hillary Clinton. I can tell you something I know for a fact. Hillary Clinton was recommended, and I have a senator friend who recommended her, and she was vetoed.
That Barack is a great Obama. Choice. That is a great... I mean, if there were more women in politics, there'd be less women and children killed in war. I hope Hillary Clinton wins. And
maybe, but I want to know something from Ray, from Ty also, but both of you. We're having a national political convention, Ray, of a Canadian political party. I just, started the show with a piece that I wrote called Therefore Choose Courage, about what we have to remember, about what we are as Canadians. Now, any national political party in any country invites a political leader from another country to do the keynote?
Yeah, that's crazy. And
something there just doesn't sit well with me.
A loud-mouthed loser. The other thing we have to understand is this. Suppose Stephen Harper were to invite an American to address...
Oh, well, there'd be a lynch mob out there for him.
You know, the Sheila Copses and Carolyn Parishes and Jean Chrétiens would be lynching him. So there's a double standard here. But what I still...
Can you imagine if Stephen Harper invited John McCain to keynote a conservative convention?
Well, Stephen Harper isn't that stupid.
Stephen Harper has ideas.
Yeah. But there are liberals, to be fair, though. My network of people has been on the phone. First, no one would believe it. A friend of mine who was very senior under Pierre Trudeau emailed me and said, can you believe they've invited Howard Dean? The question is, who invited Howard Dean? The Liberal Party didn't. Some functionary did. And when Ken Dryden goes public, you have a real problem.
Yeah, because Ken doesn't do that.
And I know a lot of liberals who are not going to go to that. Probably we're going to go to some bar on Crescent Street and have a great evening.
We're always looking for a superstar politician. We should look at policies rather than who's the keynote speaker. I mean, what are the policies we'd be voting on, let alone just talking about who's going to speak at the Liberal convention?
Yeah, but don't forget symbolism is very important today.
So they'll be playing the Howard Dean screech tape throughout the whole convention.
That's all they're playing.
That's all they're playing. That's going to be really great symbolism for the Liberals. Ray, stay with us. I want to talk about the election tonight in Toronto.
Yeah, well, I don't know how that's going, but I can guess.
But I want you to tell our listeners what the importance of it is. We'll be right back after this with Ray Hurd and Tyler Cavell. And we're talking a bit of politics now with Tyler Cavell of the of IBCtoday.com, chairman and founder, and Ray Hurd. We're always happy to have him from Toronto. We were talking about what Canada's success stories are and some of our failures, including the Liberal Party's decision to have Howard Dean as the keynote speaker. But I want to talk to Ray now about an interesting political race going on in Toronto tonight.
They're choosing a new mayor and council. The mayor who will win tonight is a socialist, David Miller, who has great hair, once played rugby, but has done absolutely nothing for 3 years. And guess what the real story is?
What's the
backstory?
The people
supporting him are liberals. His key advisors, Patrick Gossage, Peter DiNolo, who is a Montrealer.
And Peter DiNolo was communications director for Jean Chrétien for many years, yes.
These guys are helping to re-elect a socialist tonight. He'll win tonight. Jane Pitfield, who is related to Senator Michael Pitfield, who's in Westmount. She was the opposition. She believes in free enterprise and the free market.
And I presume a liberal? I presume a liberal?
No, I'm not sure. She is a genuine community person, but she is right of center or somewhat right compared, to Miller. The sad thing is that all the rankings of great cities give a place to Vancouver, Montreal, but Toronto has become a city of losers. And the reason is David Miller, the socialist mayor, has done nothing except pay off the unions who get him elected. The turnout tonight will be about 1 in 3. This is a huge city. It's a city in big trouble. And under David Miller, for the next 4 years now, it's going precisely nowhere.
Okay, now as a Montrealer who's been fighting traffic for 6 weeks because the 9,000 bureaucrats or whatever we got have decided to do all the road construction in the last 7 weeks before winter, what makes Toronto a city of losers?
Because St. Clair Street is even worse than any part of Toronto.
Of Montreal.
Sorry, Montreal. David Miller has done nothing. There's a different spirit in Montreal. In Montreal, when you meet someone, he doesn't tell you how much his house is worth. In Toronto, they do. There's a very materialistic attitude here. But on the other hand, under David Miller and his cohorts from the unions, there's a socialistic culture of entitlement.
And that's been a big complaint about services in Montreal too. Are you saying the unions in Toronto are stronger than the blue collar workers in Montreal?
No, but I'm saying they are getting stronger under David Miller. And I think it's fair to say that people in Montreal, Michelle Kelly Gagnon, who may be on your show,
yes, he's
people like that are fighting it. Here, the Liberals, who should be offering an alternative, are in bed with the socialists. They're in bed with Bob Rae to take over the Liberal Party, and they're in bed with David Miller, a socialist, who is already running the city.
And then we have to look forward to screeching Howard Dean at the Liberal convention. Now, Rae, I know you're going to be at the convention. We're going to have you in studio when you're here, but, yeah, boy, I think I'm going to stay away from it. I'm going to let you have the aggravation and report on it.
Well,
how's that for a deal?
I have to say this. I love covering fiascos. I covered George McGovern in 1972. Howard Dean makes George McGovern look like a brain surgeon.
Oh, George McGovern at least was an Air Force World War II hero.
Yes, and he also was a good friend of Shirley MacLaine, but that's another subject.
Rae Hurd, okay, always a pleasure to have you on.
Okay.
Take care. Well, Rae Hurd's right. We argue in Montreal, and we do protest. Sometimes, thank God, we actually get into the streets. And today, we had a demonstration in the streets outside the Palais de Justice, outside the courthouse, by the Union of Bar Owners, represented by Julius Gray, who was arguing a motion to lift the non-smoking law until the challenge to the law is heard in Supreme Court, because dozens of bars and establishments have closed, and the winter's going to make it even worse. And it's my pleasure to welcome Vula Demopoulos, owner of Le Scratch Bars, and with Peter Sergakis, one of the leaders of this fight to change the law. I'd be correct in saying that, Vula. You don't want to just eliminate it. You want to change it.
That's right, Farrell.
And the aim of the challenge is quite simple, again. And I've repeated it before. We've been on before, and we'll keep repeating it. It's not just about smoking. It's about the right of merchants, taxi drivers, to decide for themselves whether they're going to be smoking establishments or non-smoking establishments.
That's right. And today, I believe, was a victorious day for us. We had an amazing turnout of bar owners. Bar owners came from all over Quebec, from Chicoutimi, Rivière-du-Loup, Jonquière. These are places that are 5-6 hours away, and they were there supporting their cause. And I say their cause because they're all suffering tremendously. It was sad to see today there were one or two bar owners that were being interviewed by media, and they were crying because they were saying that if our injunction doesn't go through, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, their bars will close down. And we know that we already have over 20 bar closures in the city of Montreal.
Vula, since this campaign began, are you getting the feeling that the public is understanding that you're not demanding the old system, that you understand smoke is invasive, you're not saying sections of restaurants should be smoking, not smoking, you're saying leave the right of commerce, which was something that when Trudeau was doing the Charter of Rights, economic rights were supposed to be included,
exactly,
but they weren't.
Exactly.
Are people understanding that you're just asking for the right to choose?
Well, I'll tell you something, Beryl. I was very surprised to see this afternoon during the court hearing, when the prosecutor was litigating, that the judge even turned around and said to him, isn't it a question of an economic impact? She said, Montreal has a lot of great restaurants, a lot of nice bars and clubs. And there's also the tourism aspect, she said to him. She says, don't you think that this has a tremendous impact and that many more places will be closing down because of it?
That's very interesting. And I want to ask you another point of impact that is being argued by Julius Gray right after this short break. And in studio, we've got Tyler Cavell, founder and chairman of IBCtoday.com. You got to go check out this news portal. It is superb. It is Canadian, but it is taking on the world. And on the line with us, Vula Demopoulos of La Scratch Bars, who with Peter Sergakis have launched this court challenge to the Quebec's anti-smoking law. And Julius Gray was in court today arguing on a motion to suspend the law pending the Supreme Court's decision. Now, Vula, one of the main arguments that's being made is that if it's not suspended and the Supreme Court rules a year down the road, or it's going to hear it in May, but we don't know when they're going to rule on it, that parts of the law were too broad, more and more businesses are going to close down, that you can't make that up. That tort is going to be forever. So was there any feeling today, whether in the courtroom or in the media, whether they understood the basis of the call for the motion, that this is a prejudice that cannot be undone down the road?
I believe that the judge understood it. I believe Judge Senecal's words kept on coming back about this being a serious and important case. And I believe that the judge sees the importance of it. She's a very thorough and meticulous judge that was listening very attentively to both sides and taking many, many notes. And I do believe that the business owners definitely, and now even the rest of the public are starting to see that, especially with the publicity we got today.
And
I have to say that I think the other concern, the next concern, will be that when these places, if and when these places do close down, and we have one a year from now, can you imagine the suits? Can you imagine the class action suits?
Retroactively, because this is retroactive law. So here you are, people doing business all their lives, and all of a sudden you have retroactive law. At the federal level, Paul Martin makes retroactive tax haven rules that let him ship 9 companies offshore and save $300 million of taxes as finance minister. He benefits, and his rich friends benefit. But at the local level, they make statocratic laws that kill small businessmen.
That's right.
It's insane.
And that's what we were saying, and that's what I was saying on the news, that all these small bar owners that have closed, these bar owners that have closed so far are small bars. And it was done in a timely fashion so that the government can take back those machines and bring them into their so-called new gaming rooms and casinos and have 100% of the profits. It's always the small guy that ends up suffering and paying.
The VLT, the video lottery machines.
Yes.
You know, today's demonstration was impressive for the breadth of people that showed up. They showed up from all over the place. In the
all
province.
Over the place. We even had people from Massachusetts.
I saw that.
Helping us.
Are you getting the sense out there that people are understanding that this is enough? You know, government's role is to protect me from you and you from me, not to perfect my character. Is there, you getting the feeling that people are ready to say to Quebec, hey, Quebec, ça suffit, you know, fix health care on the roads first before you start dictating to us whether we should wear helmets when we go on bicycles or smoke cigarettes or God knows what's next, you know, whether we should wear colognes because it could affect somebody's allergies.
I was going to say that. Yeah, exactly. When now that the people are starting to see things like the additional tax on fast food and the colognes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, trans fats. That's a big thing now.
I'm sure that the people are starting to become aware. And I myself have spoken to many non-smokers, which also feel that this law is ridiculous.
I was just telling Tyler before the break, I can't remember the laws I got to know about to get up in the morning just to get to work. I mean, this is insane. We didn't come to this society.
You might have to wear a certain color underwear, Beryl.
I know. Well, that'll stay between you and me, but this is really insane. You know, I've said on this show sometimes, I've opened the show by saying, well, today I've broken the following laws. And, you know, you need to challenge these people, Canada. Listeners, you got to. We had an inspector in our office building. We're ground zero on Peel, so this inspector was going around to a bunch of offices. And he walks in, a smoking inspector, and he walks in with his gold badge and, you know, takes a look around. And then he says, you know, I have the right to look in your drawers. J'ai le droit de regarder dans les tiroirs.
Really?
I said, really? By what right? He says, Section 33 of the anti-tobacco law. I said, really? Well, what about Section 7 of the Quebec Charter of Rights that protects my privacy? And people don't understand how far the state is going into their lives. Under the rubric of supposedly making you healthier, they're also controlling everything you do.
That's we have right. to employ government officials somehow. I mean, they got to eat, too.
Exactly. That's what this is all about, guys. There were four anti-tobacco activists in that courtroom today that were being paid to just be there.
That's all it's all about. Government mm-hmm. perpetuating its own power through the creation of more and more bureaucracy because they can't really address the real problems. Vula Demopoulos, we're going to keep on looking at this issue and with you
we'll
and supporting you.
We'll be back at court tomorrow morning at 9:30 until the afternoon, and we hope with whoever...
Is the decision coming off the bench, or are they taking their time with it?
Most probably not. It'll probably take a week and a half. But I do believe, Beryl, we have good chances. And if we get this one, wow.
Oh.
It'll be
Lady,
a big victory.
We're gonna go have a drink and a smoke.
Definitely.
Vula Demopoulos, many thanks to you.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you very much.
They're making signs for Master Control. Tyler Cavell, IBCtoday.com. Many thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks to Ray Hurd, Nick Mays, and Master Control. Great job. Montreal will be back tomorrow night.